Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. Right now, the House of Representatives voting to undo the president's unconstitutional immigration actions.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4 states that the Congress shall have power to establish a uniform rule of naturalization. Congress, not the executive. President Obama has circumvented Congress and unilaterally rewritten immigration law from the Oval Office.
I want to just say how disconcerting it is after we have seen the president act with authority in the law, under the law, and also according to precedent of every president, Democratic and Republican, since President Eisenhower. That's why it's very disturbing to see the Speaker of the House by saying that President Obama has cemented his legacy of lawlessness.
To think that the President of the United States actually studied constitutional law is one thing. He didn't just learn constitutional law, he taught it as well. But now his actions suggest that he's forgotten what these words even mean. Enough is enough. By their votes last November, the people made clear that they wanted more accountability from this president. And by our votes here today, we will heed their will, and we will keep our oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
On this vote, the yeas are 237 and the nays 190. The amendment is adopted.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live, and as we speak, Congress, the House of Representatives, voting to undo the president's, what we believe, unconstitutional executive actions as they refer to immigration. A number of amendments have passed to the funding, specifically what we've talked about a lot here, to the Department of Homeland Security, when it comes to specifically these funding these moves by President Obama and the executive actions and executive authority he has asserted to try and broaden out immigration law. And of course, he doesn't have the ability to do that on his own. And that's what this fight is about. It's not really. And if you listen to what's happening in Congress and you hear from those who support the legislation to undo what President Obama has done, you'll see they're not talking about the merits of immigration policy there and reform. They're talking about presidential power and a remaking of the executive power, an increased executive power, less power for Congress. My dad's joining us well, Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. The vote literally is happening as we speak. There's about a minute or so left, and then we'll see this move to the United States Senate. And Dad, again, you know, it's a key day because Congress taking quick action, and we're getting to see how members of Congress are coming down on this move by President Obama and how to respond to it.
Well, the fact of the matter is we asked our listeners to participate in this, and the end result is Congress moved quickly. Now, Than will give us a breakdown in a moment, maybe after the break here, as to exactly what has passed by what margins. So we'll break down that legislation for you. But the next battle here, folks, we've won in the House, is now to the United States Senate. This is a huge step forward, though. I don't want to take anything away from it. Than, this was a huge step forward in the process of basically curtailing the president's unbelievable, in our view, unconstitutional overreach.
Yeah, to put it plainly, the House of Representatives, Jay, they just did exactly what our members have been calling them to do. They took a stand against the president's unconstitutional acts. They said, we will not send you any of our taxpayer dollars to fund it. Of course, the Senate has to agree, but let's put it plainly, the House did exactly what we asked them to do.
Which is a great news. Now the question is, and Jordan's going to get everybody to get on board on this, we've already got, you know, we got 25,000 signatures in less than a day on this. Which was great. We were able to get that information. Now it goes to the United States Senate. Now, folks, the battle in the Senate is going to be tougher. And, Jordan, we're going to need 100,000 signatures to get the attention of the Senate here.
That's right. You know, and for a while, we've been used to things being able to move through the House. But we've had the big shift in the Senate. Now, the shift that happened, Republicans taking the U.S. Senate. But that being said, they don't have a veto-proof majority. So this is going to be interesting to see how this works out, the 54-46 split in the U.S. Senate. We need you to stand with us. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. As this moves through the House, the fight is not over in Congress. 877-989-2255.
Pre- President Obama acted alone, bypassed Congress, turned his back on the Constitution and the rule of law, and took action on immigration reform. The American Center for Law and Justice is already supporting a lawsuit challenging the president's unconstitutional power grab. And now the fight has moved to Congress, where there's legislation to cut off funding for the president's reckless plan. Congress has the power of the purse, and now it is time for our lawmakers to refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's plan. Stand with us in defense of the Constitution. Stop this imperial presidency. Urge Congress to stop funding his illegal actions. Sign on to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
On this vote, the yeas are 236 and the nays are 191. The bill is passed. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
Well, there it is. This is just literally moments ago. The motion passed on the bill. Fan, tell us exactly what we have here.
That is final passage of the funding for the Department of Homeland Security. And key in that, Jay, there is language passed by Robert Aderholt, passed by 237 members of the House of Representatives, that does exactly what we've been calling for weeks now. It says the president's executive actions of last November, they will not be funded. So if this becomes law, the House will have blocked the president's executive actions on immigration.
And, Jordan, this is exactly and precisely what we asked for. By the way, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. But, Jordan, this is exactly what we asked our members to do. This is exactly what we asked Congress to do when I testified just a few weeks ago.
That's right. They're taking action. I think that we now have got to take action as well. It was widely suspected that this would move through the House of Representatives, and it would have moved through the House of Representatives even going back years here, because the Republicans and more conservatives on this issue have had control. Where the changes happened is the United States Senate. Now, people sometimes think, because of the House, and they forget the filibuster on legislation in the Senate as well. You think about with nominees, but not always legislation, that you've got to overcome those hurdles. So if you take this language to the United States Senate right now, and you look at the breakdown of Republican versus Democrat, and of course there could be shifts on both sides there, you're looking at 54-46. You need 60 votes to overcome a filibuster if that decision is chosen by the minority party and trying to work that, or how this works out exactly. So this is a battle that is far from over in just to try and get this legislation to President Obama's desk, which would be another step forward in the process since the beginning, really, of the Obama presidency.
Well, and I think that the next phase of this, as Jordan laid out, is going to be the Senate. We're going to have a little bit of a challenge there. I believe we get it passed, but it's going to take work. Folks, let me tell you a couple things. First of all, your thoughts about the president's actions here. This is a significant thing. You know, I tied in yesterday, and I want to do this again. I tied in yesterday the situation that's unfolding right now in Europe with the attacks in France, the horrific terrorist attacks in France, and our own immigration policy, and our lack of border security, and understand the vulnerability that that puts in place. And then when you have on top of that, the president, you know, doesn't even send senior officials, forget the president going over there, but doesn't send senior officials over to France, leading, this is, as I think it was John King from CNN said, really leading from behind. I mean, that's when you don't show up. Nobody shows up from your administration of senior status other than the ambassador. And then at the same time, we've got the president taking unilateral action in regard to immigration, which opens up our vulnerability even in a greater extent. You ask yourself, what playbook is the president playing from here? Because there's an awful lot at stake. This is really serious. And the ramifications of all of this, whether it's the situation in Europe with the rising Islamic movement, as we talked about in our book, Rise of ISIS, or whether it is our own borders. There is a symmetry. There is a connecting point here. And this is this leadership and methodology and, frankly, a political philosophy that's being implemented that's dangerous to our constitutional republic, in my view. We're taking your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Jordan and Than, let's talk about the Senate challenge now. So what happens procedurally? Now this moves, there'll be a bill introduced, similar bills, in the United States Senate.
Well, that's the interesting first part. I was just talking about it with Than in our first break, because, Than, when you look at what's happens next, it may not be the exact same language, and there's going to have to be some decisions made by now Republican leadership. And we're really going to see, I think, for the first time in this new Republican-controlled Senate, how the leadership is going to respond to what will be a tough fight and how exactly they're going to work with a House that's more conservative and able to pass more legislation through to them, and how they're going to work through that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Only two Democrats joined Republicans in passing this bill out of the House today, Jordan. But you're right. It is going to be a different bill in the Senate. And when those two bills emerge, assuming the Senate passes one, they would have to iron out those differences. But just tactically, I want our listeners to understand something very important that the House did today. This is 6 weeks before the deadline for the Department of Homeland Security funding. This is not, 2 days before the deadline. The Senate has time to take this up and to work this out. They did not push the deadline. They did not make this about government shutdown. They made this about constitutional overreach. The Senate and the House have 6 weeks now to figure this out. There's no excuse for the Senate to not come to the table and engage this debate.
Well, this is exactly why, folks, we're fighting so aggressively on these issues, and we need your help. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We want to take this petition now over to the United States Senate. I mean, it literally is that simple. But then the work really begins again. So we've got a success here. I want to declare a victory today in the House of Representatives. We won. We asked you to do it. You did it. Almost 25,000 of you contacted us in less than 25 hours, so literally less than 24 hours. It was over 1,000 an hour if you wanted to do it that way. I'd like, when this goes to the Senate next week, I'd really like to say, as the Senate introduces their versions of this, I'd like to have 100,000 signatures. So I need everybody that's listening to go to ACLJ.org. We're going to be able to checkmate the President of the United States right now. I believe we're going to be able to do that. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org. or 877-989-2255. We want you to sign that petition now. We're also taking your phone calls. We're talking about presidential overreach, the mishandling of the situation in France with this terrorism attack. We want to get your thoughts and comments on that, and we are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's take a phone call.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Christopher in Arizona on line one. Christopher, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Christopher.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I've been listening to you off and on for a while. I'm from Canada. I came over to America in maybe 1984, and then when Ronald Reagan did that amnesty thing, while I was too busy doing other things like a kid, I missed the boat. But now... I've been on 5-year visas, 10-year visas,
right,
paying lawyers a lot of money to help me become a citizen. Now I'm coming really close.
Great.
What's the difference between what Ronald Reagan did to what Obama is doing?
Underlying legislation supporting the move didn't create a new right. So it's a different situation. And by the way, I've also said this. I'm not sure. And I argued this in my position paper. I don't think that some of the actions on immigration, and that was amnesty. Those were U.S. citizens, remember. It's a whole different scenario after the Vietnam War. So there was a whole different legal framework. But I'm not convinced that what President Reagan did, with all due respect to President Reagan or President George Bush, what they did on their versions of these executive actions, I don't believe those were constitutional either. And I don't think constitutional violations get better with time. So I think there's a serious constitutional issue on this, and that's what I'm concerned about. So is a lot of members of the United States Congress who we represent, and we've got that brief filed right now in the district court, and now we've got legislation on the same thing. So we're dual-tracking this, Christopher. It's both in court and in Congress. So we're working on both angles right now. Folks, we are taking your calls at 800-684-3110, and we want your opinions and your thoughts and your questions on presidential action and how the president, 2 years left here, what are you expecting out of this president? So we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Let me go back to Jordan Than here. As we move this to the United States Senate, the challenge is going to be greater, Jordan Than. We need to really focus on where we need to mobilize our folks.
That's right. We've got to focus in on key, more moderate members of the United States Senate, Republicans as well, and also finding Democrat allies on this issue that may be willing in these final couple of years of the Obama presidency, where they're not as concerned about necessarily upsetting the president. They're looking towards the future and maybe their own issues in their state and representing their constituents. So it's a different situation that we're in, and certainly we haven't had this in the Obama presidency. I think that's why, Than, it'll be very interesting to see and why it's important for everyone to get engaged on this issue, because this will kind of set the tone for how Republican leadership is going to respond to the tough fights for the next couple of years.
Yeah, and it's important how we frame this debate, too. I mean, you know, when Jay was before the House Judiciary Committee, he openly said, listen, I support comprehensive immigration reform, and I think that's going to be important to a lot of these senators, but they need to understand that it is their constitutional authority to write that reform, and I think that's our appeal to them. Listen, you can engage this debate, you can have the legislative debate, but don't let the president take it away from you. The Constitution afforded you the right to make this decision. You've got to push back against him now in order to preserve that right and in order to help shape that reform.
And this is where you come in, folks. We've got a petition that's up, and it's gaining a lot of signatures, almost 25,000 online, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on that petition so that we can go to the Senate and say, look, we want to get 100,000 signatures on it. 100,000 Americans say, we want this executive action of President Obama's not funded. That's how the control of the purse makes a huge difference here. So it's a huge difference. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. The President of the United States wants to open our borders, make those porous, doesn't want to call Islamic terrorism Islamic terrorism. We're going to talk about that when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We want to take your calls on all of those topics. And don't forget our book, Rise of ISIS. It's available in bookstores everywhere. Support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at ACLJ.org. Back with your calls at 800-684-3110.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. President Obama acted alone, bypassed Congress, turned his back on the Constitution and the rule of law, took action on immigration reform. The American Center for Law and Justice is already supporting a lawsuit challenging the president's unconstitutional power grab. And now the fight has moved to Congress, where there's legislation to cut off funding for the president's reckless plan. Congress has the power of the purse, and now it is time for our lawmakers to refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's plan. Stand with us in defense of the Constitution. Stop this imperial presidency. Urge Congress to stop funding his illegal actions. Sign on to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
We are taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. That's the song Fooling Yourself, a version of it from our band here at J. Sekulow Live. J. Sekulow Band, we've got a Facebook page. I encourage you to hit like on that and follow us on Facebook. Also, don't forget, like our ACLJ and my page and Jordan's page and follow us on Twitter and jordanstwitter.com/JordanSekulow. You know, we had earlier this discussion about, you know, President – and do we have the Nancy Pelosi bite where she says this went back to President Eisenhower that they've been doing – let me play this for you, put this into context on the presidential executive action. They're using this historical argument, and then I'm going to play for you afterwards something I said during my testimony.
I want to just say how disconcerting it is after we have seen the president act with authority in the law – under the law and also according to precedent of every president, Democratic and Republican, since President Eisenhower. That's why it's very disturbing.
Yeah, well, you know, because President Eisenhower did something like this, and although no one did it to the scope of this, by the way. Let me make that clear. But when I testified on Capitol Hill before the full Judiciary Committee, I talked about that. Listen to Byte 24. This is me.
This reliance that we've seen on some that President Reagan and President Bush and even President Eisenhower made or issued executive action or executive orders, which in some cases may be clearly distinguishable because they didn't set forth a new class, but even if they were not distinguishable, past constitutional acts do not get better with time. They are still just that, unconstitutional actions.
These are unconstitutional actions. So the fact that they cloak this in this prior constitutional act as if there was a judicial determination, which there wasn't under President Bush, President Reagan, or President Eisenhower. Why? It was a small class of people that were expected impacted in the tens of thousands, not in the millions, number one. Number two, the fact that they couched this in these past constitutional act language, no courts adjudicated that. That doesn't make it constitutional. And that's what I'm concerned with on all this. So we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We want you to sign that petition, aclj.org or 877-989-2255, aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's go ahead and take another phone call, Jordan.
Sure, right back to the phones we go. I want to go to Bill in Missouri on line two. Bill, welcome to J. Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Yes, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Earlier there was a soundbite of someone talking about Obama studying constitutional law and then teaching constitutional law.
Yeah, we actually have – that was actually John Boehner. Let me play that bite for you. Here it is.
To think that the president of the United States actually studied constitutional law is one thing. He didn't just learn constitutional law. He taught it as well.
So there you have it. So that was John Boehner talking about the presidential action here. But go ahead, Bill.
All right. Well, my comment is this, okay? He's taken an oath twice as president of the United States to defend the Constitution of the United States. Okay, with all this executive action stuff that he's been doing, I just wonder, has he violated the Constitution in any way?
Well, a court's got to make that determination. I mean, we have co-equal branches of government. This is, you know, the president's not guilty of doing anything until a court were to say that that was an overreach or that was unconstitutional action. We could think it is. The House can certainly take action, which they are, to defund it. But to determine that the action was actually in violation of the Constitution takes litigation. We are in court on that in Texas right now. Those briefs have been filed. We are in Congress dealing with it that way. But, Jordan, it takes a legal analysis, and then we'll go to Than on that. Then there's a congressional side of this. So both of those are at play here.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, this is ultimately a battle that has to be fought, you know, two fronts. There's the legal fight to this, and then there's a legislative fight as well, and you could even put a third, that there's a political discussion that has to go on throughout the country as we speak, and making sure that people are informed on how to discuss this issue. Because if you go down the path of do you support immigration reform or not, I think most Americans realize we have to reform our system. It's not working. But that's a red herring argument here. You really have got to realize this is about presidential power. And Senator Marco Rubio talked about this. He talked about, hey, what if the president just started announcing corporate tax changes, things you may like, or individual tax cuts? The president doesn't have power to do that, like it or not, bite one.
You don't like what the president did with his executive order?
I don't, because, number one, I think it's unconstitutional. I mean, if the president tomorrow decided to cut corporate taxes in half, you know, or cut them to 15% by executive order, I would support the idea, but I would not support how he did it, because I don't think he has the authority to do that. The same is true with this. I think what he did, he doesn't have the authority to do.
I think this is exactly, Marco Rubio is exactly correct. And this is where the Senate, and Than, you were saying this during the break, and I want people to understand this. We're going to have a challenge in the United States Senate here. We're going to have to work aggressively.
Yeah, it's going to be close. And frankly, Jay, on both sides of the aisle, we have to approach Republicans and Democrats with that message that you just heard from Senator Rubio. And I would just say this to our listeners. We have members on our brief. We have 68 members in whole. But some of those members, one of them the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, who agrees with some of the underlying policy that the president engaged here. He signed our brief because this is a clear violation of the separation of powers. And when there's a violation of separation of powers, Jay, it doesn't just fall. The offended branch has to stand up and defend their turf. That's why Chairman Goodlatte is on our brief. That's why members of the Senate should engage this issue as well.
Well, that's why we're asking you to do it as well, folks. And we're going to talk about letting you know in a moment how you could do it. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. You know, Than just said it, Jordan. There's going to be a challenge. We got to be aggressive at the United States Senate here.
Yeah, that's right. If we're not, this could end up very watered down or never even getting a vote. I mean, we have to be real honest about this situation here. This is just because Republicans took control of the Senate. The Senate doesn't have the same rules. It doesn't operate the same way as the House of Representatives because of the supermajority that can be necessary to get these votes. If there's a real effort mounted by the left here to stop this from getting to the floor, you're talking about 54-46. How do you get to 60 to overcome that? And do you take this head on? How will Republican leadership fight now that they are in control? You can't use the strategy anymore that, well, the Democrats won't let us or Harry Reid won't schedule a vote. That's not going to happen anymore. And now it's up to the conservatives.
Well, folks, this is where you come in. We're here for another half hour, by the way. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, then you certainly do on SiriusXM. But if you don't, just go over to ACLJ.org. We're streaming it there. We're also taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be taking more of your calls when we come back from the break, 800-684-3110. A couple of things that we would like you to do here right now, and this is important, folks, especially now that the battle really moves to the United States Senate. We're at almost 25,000 signatures online, certainly with the phone calls that we got yesterday right at that. Here's what we're saying. The president has taken the law into his own hands. He has ignored the Congress. He has violated the Constitution, in our view. He cannot be allowed to unilaterally change our immigration laws. An impatient president doesn't get to just do this on his own. And while I believe we need legal, you know, comprehensive legal immigration reform, which includes security of the borders, by the way, the executive overreach here is more like an imperial presidency. And the president's not a king. So the Congress can checkmate him by not having the funding go forward. That's what we're asking to do. It is now passed in the United States House of Representatives. The fight now moves to the United States Senate, and I need you to be with us in this fight. Jordan's going to give you that number. We need you to join us right now.
Absolutely. Here's the number you call, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign the petition online now. This fight, far from over, it's really just begun now that it's making its way to the Senate. This is where the fight is going to be when it comes to Congress. 877-989-2255.
Now it is time for our lawmakers to refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's plan. Stand with us in defense of the Constitution. Stop this imperial presidency. Urge Congress to stop funding his illegal actions. Sign on to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Song that our band here at J Secular Live did. I'm going to get that out. On Facebook in the next week or two, at least on the band's page and maybe my page. We'll try to get that out next week so everybody can hear it. We're going to start playing that a little bit more. Boy, there's some great lines in there about what we're going through as a country. Hey, we're taking your phone call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've got an opposing call that's coming in, and that is Let's take it, Jordan. It's Mike, I think, out of there out of Montana.
Sure, Mike. Welcome to J Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Mike.
Oh, hi.
You're on the air, sir.
I just said, why, if he's breaking the law and everything, why don't you just impeach him?
Well, you know? I never said it. Have you ever heard me say anything about impeaching the president over this?
No, but the point is, why don't you just do it if he's
well, because it has to be an impeachable offense. No one's here said it's an impeachable offense. No court's ruled. If the court were to rule that what the president did was unconstitutional, and then the president were to undo his order, which would just be, it wouldn't be enforced, well then, you know, we challenged it in court and we won. Now, if the president were to ignore what the court said, and no one's saying he would do that, then it would be the rise to the level of an impeachment if the president ignored what a court were to tell him on an issue where it's a constitutional issue. But, Mike, you're not suggesting that. Do you think the president should be impeached over this?
No, I'm just, it sounds like that's what you're talking about.
Have you heard, Mike, have you heard me say impeach the president over this?
No, no. But I'm
okay.
I said, what about when Reagan gave blank?
Well, did you hear, what did I say about when Ronald Reagan did it? What did I just say on the broadcast 10 minutes ago about what Ronald Reagan did? Let me play for you what I said about it. Here we go.
This reliance that we've seen on some that President Reagan and President Bush and even President Eisenhower made or issued executive action or executive orders, which in some cases may be clearly distinguishable because they didn't set forth a new class, but even if they were not distinguishable, past constitutional acts do not get better with time. They are still just that, unconstitutional actions.
So a president could say it's constitutional, which President Reagan and President Bush and, of course, President Obama said. They could say it's constitutional, but that does not make it a constitutional action. But they weren't challenged. And, Mike, the reason they weren't challenged is it impacted a small amount of people, and there was arguably some legislation behind it, which you don't have here. So I'm saying go to court, which we have. The briefs have been filed. We'll see what the court says. And then the Congress, you don't deny that the Congress has the power of the purse, right?
Oh, no. The House of Representatives does.
The House of Representatives. Yeah, I mean, the House of Representatives has the power of the purse.
They control the purse.
So if there's legislation that the House puts forward and that the Senate then approves, the president could veto it. And then there'll be a question of whether the Senate can override the veto. This is how a law becomes a bill becomes a law. I feel like we're doing, Schoolhouse Rock. But, some people say, oh, impeach. We're not saying that. I don't hear conservatives, Jordan and Thant, saying impeach. We're saying challenge. And we certainly have the right to challenge.
Well, that's right. I think you laid it out. And it helps explain to people. I think sometimes people do think, well, if we say something is illegal or unconstitutional, where's the distinction? The fight right now is in the courts. And as you said, then you go to the courts, then what happens post that? And you'd have to, there's a lot of hypotheticals down the road before you're talking about a president trying to directly violate. That's the argument here, and the distinction is this something the president can do or not? We believe he cannot, and we believe that this is not good precedent down the road. And even in the situation like Senator Marco Rubio talked about, if it was tax cuts and things we supported, that it's not the president's job to do that. That's up to Congress to get it to the president's desk.
All right, folks, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We want you to sign on to this petition as well. Many of you are. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. As the fight now goes to the Senate, we've won in the House. We now fight it out in the United States Senate. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that by making an online donation at ACLJ.org. Our book, Rise of ISIS, in bookstores everywhere. We encourage you to get that, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever books are sold. If you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110.
President Obama acted alone, bypassed Congress, turned his back on the Constitution and the rule of law, and took action on immigration reform. The American Center for Law and Justice is already supporting a lawsuit challenging the president's unconstitutional power grab. And now the fight has moved to Congress, where there's legislation to cut off funding for the president's reckless plan. Congress has the power of the purse, and now it is time for our lawmakers to refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's plan. Stand with us in defense of the Constitution. Stop this imperial presidency. Urge Congress to stop funding his illegal actions. Sign on to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Secular Band's version of this song, which I think is absolutely the great one. I'll tell you this. We were going to figure out when to put it up, but I think sometime either this weekend even. I move it up to this weekend. I was going to hold it back, but maybe we'll put it up this week. And we'll talk to our social media folks and see if we'll either do it this weekend or next. But we'll get it up certainly on my page and certainly the band's page ultimately. And you, by the way, like our Facebook pages. We encourage you to do that. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. A lot of people are calling in. Let's go right to those phones.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. And we'll go to Mira in California, online 3. Mira, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Mira.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. I just had a stray thought regarding the president and the various members who did not go to France to the whole let's get together and support terrorism. Wouldn't it have been very, very silly to endanger himself?
I didn't say the president. First of all, it wasn't let's go support terrorism. It was let's go and condemn terrorism. I'm not saying the president should have gone. That would be a question for the United States Secret Service. I completely understand that. However, and I think what John King said, the leading for the photo, we missed an unbelievable opportunity as the United States of America. An incredible opportunity we missed. And all the media, including CNN, this is not conservative media, pick this up, Mira, that it sent an unbelievable message that we didn't have someone from senior leadership on the front line of this. Listen to what John King from CNN said.
This is a pretty remarkable photo. You've got Prime Minister Abbas and Prime Minister Netanyahu, Angela Merkel there. This is the King of Jordan. And why is if the United States, I mean, forgive me, but if there's ever a picture that says our policy is leading from behind, that's it.
So, that's the reason why we could, and I'm going to go to Jordan Than on this. Politically, it was a mistake. They've acknowledged it was a mistake now. In fact, we could play the, so they recognize this, Mira, that this was a mistake. We've got the Josh Earnest apology. Let's play that. Then I want Jordan Than to comment.
Some have asked whether or not the United States should have sent someone with a higher profile than the ambassador to France. And I think it's fair to say that we should have sent someone with a higher profile.
I mean, there it is. I mean, they've acknowledged this. We're not going to beat this. It's over with. But it did send I think it sent the wrong message. Jordan Than, your comments.
Yeah, that's right. And I do believe that it was a missed opportunity. The Attorney General of the United States was there. Could have been an easy situation. Of course, we have Secretary of State John Kerry. And we sent our ambassador to France. That person doesn't rise to the level of the other leaders who came from around the world, as we just heard from the soundbite from CNN.
What is the sense? Go ahead, Than.
Well, everyone else was there. I mean, the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, I mean, he's got an awful lot of security threats available to him. He was there. The leader of the Palestinian Authority was there. And I also just think this, Jay. If this had happened in a vacuum, that would be one thing. But it happened by an administration that has made a pattern of diminishing the threat that we face in the world. And I think that's why people reacted viscerally, because they have been conditioned to believe by the president's actions that this is not something to take seriously. His absence, the absence of the vice president or the secretary of state, just underscored that feeling.
Well, I think that's exactly correct. And I think it was missed opportunity. Atmospherics matter. We missed an opportunity. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's take another phone call.
Yeah, right back to the phones. We'll go to Deborah in Georgia, opposed on the issue of immigration. Deborah, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
Right, good. You're on the air.
Great. Yes, I just want to make a comment.
Sure.
Now that, you know, all of this anti-Obama and his actions and all these kinds of things, to me, prior presidents haven't had his credentials, and they've done and made infractions, similar infractions. However, Obama, he's a constitutional attorney. He probably knows the law better than some of you guys, probably most of Congress. So I'm certain that when the legal system comes with their final decision, it's going to be that he operated.
Well, you know, Deborah, with due respect, he thought he had the authority to make recess appointments when the Congress was not in recess, and nine justices of the United States and the United States Supreme Court told our president, the constitutional scholar, that he was wrong and didn't have the authority to do exactly what he said he had the authority to do, and they rebuffed him 9-0. We worked on that case. We filed in that case, represented the Speaker of the House. That's number one. Number two, I said it. The fact that other presidents did it does not make it right. And none of them were to the scope of this. So this is not, you know, look, this is a legal challenge. That's how you handle it. Congress is doing what Congress has the authority to do. This is a legal challenge. We're handling the legal side of that challenge. We're handling the congressional side by working it through Congress. But the president has said himself, Deborah, I want you to hear this and I want you to respond to this. The president himself said he didn't have the authority to do this very thing that he ended up doing. Listen to what he said.
The problem is that I'm the president of the United States. I'm not the emperor of the United States. My job is to execute laws that are passed.
So there was no law that was passed. So, Deborah, how do you respond to that? The president said this 22 times.
Well, you know what? I can't respond to that because you just played an excerpt from something. I don't know exactly.
A statement. He was asked whether he could. He was actually interrupted at a hearing, at a speaking event, where he was being called on to do amnesty for people that were here. And do we have that whole bite? If not, we'll get it. I mean, before the half hour's out, we'll have it. He was in a conversation, was interrupted, and somebody was questioning him about deportations. And he said, we have deported a lot of people, but what you have to understand is I'm going to change the law. He doesn't have the authority. Listen to what he said, and then I'm going to explain why he doesn't have the authority. Here you go.
You're absolutely right that there have been significant numbers of deportations. That's true. But what you're not paying attention to is the fact that I just took an action to change the law.
Now, do you, Deborah, you sound like a really smart woman. Do you really believe the President of the United States has the authority to change the law?
What I think is that...
I'm being respectful. Do you think the President of the United States has the authority on his own initiative to change the law?
I think that he has...
Does the President... Deborah, please. Does the President... You don't believe that the President has the authority to change the law. You don't believe that.
If you all really thought that he did something wrong,
yes.
Why do you need a legal system to analyze it?
Because we think he did something wrong, so you go to court. We're not saying impeach the man. We're saying go to court and make the determination. What? And by the way, that's the way our Constitution is set up, with three branches of government. So, Deborah, I understand you're trying to defend the president here. It's just there's a fundamental difference between administrative action and changing the law. And the president said he had the authority to change the law. And trust me, Deborah, you don't want to live, nor do I, in a country where a president can change the law on his own. I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate your listening. But we fundamentally disagree. And I think it's a huge constitutional overstep to go to the position where a president can change the law. And, Jordan, this is fundamentally what we're having to deal with right now. And the misinformation that's going to come out with this legislation is it's going to impact Homeland Security. That's going to be the other aspect of this.
Oh, absolutely. And this is only going to, this debate is only going to really heat up and increase as we move to the United States Senate, where the battle becomes tougher because of the switch in leadership. And so we'll see how much pressure the White House is going to put on its Senate allies to try and stop this vote from moving forward. But as you said, you know, this is all part of a comprehensive strategy, and it's the one part, the legislative part, but we've also got the legal part as well. And
right.
This is all moving forward. And so, again, this it's kind of a new way of operating under the Obama presidency and doing what you can with victories that have happened down the road, but also being realistic. And we have to be realistic. This battle is going to be tough in the U.S. Senate.
And Than, how tough in the United States Senate are we talking about here?
It's going to be tough, and people are going to have to pay attention to the details here. I mean, think about what happened today. The underlying funding bill for the Department of Homeland Security came up, and the language that we were looking for occurred in the form of an amendment. So people are going to have to stay tuned. We're going to let them know where that key vote will be and where senators need to be if they want to stand with our position. But I would say right now, Jay, we probably are still a couple of votes behind. We need to convince a few people, a few members of the United States Senate, that they have to defend their constitutional turf here.
Well, this is where you come in, folks, and this is where we need your help. Jordan's going to give you the information, but we need you to sign on to this petition. It is really critical that we hear from you right now as this moves to the United States Senate. Then we come back from the break. We'll take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. But, Jordan, let's get everybody engaged. This is really important.
You can call our toll-free number right now to join this fight, 877-989-2255. You can always join at aclj.org. If you prefer to go online, that's aclj.org to sign this petition online. But I encourage you, this is the time to pick up the phone. We have momentum here. It's moving through the House. We have attention on this. And the debate has got to be the right debate. And that will only happen if the American people are informed. You are a critical part in informing people, informing your friends and neighbors and family. Go to aclj.org or call now, 877-989-2255. We'll be right back.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
President Obama acted alone, bypassed Congress, turned his back on the Constitution and the rule of law, and took action on immigration reform. The American Center for Law and Justice is already supporting a lawsuit challenging the president's unconstitutional power grab. And now the fight has moved to Congress, where there's legislation to cut off funding for the president's reckless plan. Congress has the power of the purse, and now it is time for our lawmakers to refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's plan. Stand with us in defense of the Constitution. Stop this imperial presidency. Urge Congress to stop funding his illegal actions. Sign on to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Secchio Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you're just joining us, the House of Representatives has moved forward, passed the legislation to stop President Obama's unconstitutional moves when it comes to this executive actions on immigration, basically trying to enact immigration reform without legislation from Congress. You know, this is being fought in the courts. It's also being fought on Capitol Hill, and this is a battle that it's very important. We want you to join in the battle and to have the right discussion when we're talking about it as well. A lot of people have called in. We're going to get to your phone calls as well and have that discussion here, because it can be one of those issues where you get sidetracked on immigration. That's not really what this is about. It's about executive power and how much new executive power we're going to let the president try to assert, and how would that play out later. And how could that be changed later and with other legislation, not just on the immigration issue? I want to go to your phone calls now. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Bill is calling in from Kentucky on line 5. Bill, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi. Is there any time that a president should use an executive order?
Well, sure. When there are congressional laws and policies put in place, remember, the president's job is to faithfully execute those laws. There are sometimes the Congress will delegate power to the executive. So, Than, we see, like legislation or not, even things like the Affordable Care Act, there's a lot of delegation there. And, of course, legislation when it comes to foreign policy, when it comes to spending, when it comes to military. So those are the ones, they're not so controversial. What President Obama has done to keep his technical executive order down, which is, these terms you use, it's used executive memorandums. And that's what he's even done here. And what it is explanations of how they see the law and their power and how they want to see it enacted. Most of the time, not nearly as controversial and not as discussed, because it's something that Congress has really empowered them to do.
The vast majority of executive actions over the years, Jordan, have been constitutional. They've either been rooted in Article 2 of the Constitution or delegated by the Congress. Maybe originally were found in Article 1, but have been delegated by the Congress. And honestly, a great example, callers keep referring to Ronald Reagan's actions or President Bush 41's actions on immigration. I think there is some murkiness there on the constitutionality of it. But the interesting thing is, in both of those cases, there was no pushback from Congress, Jordan, because they were implementing a law that Congress passed. And if there was any dispute, Congress actually thought those two presidents weren't going far enough. In this case, the Congress clearly has Article I power over immigration. They did not pass any new law. And when the president acted, this Congress is pushing back. So there's a clear dispute on this executive action.
Folks, we'll go right back to your phones, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us on air. Let's go to Bill calling from Colorado on line 4. Bill, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Yes, good morning. I've signed on to the petition, and
thank you.
I just wanted to make a very important point. I think we and our legislators need to make clear what our protracted intent is, and by doing so, we'll win the case in the court of public opinion. So three steps. We need to stop the president's unconstitutional illegal action. Secondly, we need to provide legislative action to care for those people in America who are not citizens and who are caught in this limbo. And then thirdly, we need to pave a path for the security and welfare of all Americans, to assimilate those non-citizens who will benefit our nation, and to locate and deport the non-citizens who are criminals or threats to our citizen safety.
Well, I think, Bill, you bring up a very important point, which is that we don't have laws right now that are being implemented correctly. And the immigration legal system is so backed up, the court processes, and people who are waiting in line, who have gone through the legal process and done things the right way. All of that, again, real problems. So when you look at what we have to do, I think you're right. I think that's where most people are, is that you have to figure out, how do we handle our current problems? People who, you know, millions of people who may be here. How do we handle the people who are waiting in line? Border security. Then you start talking about the next step. You know, then you start talking about people who violated the law. So I think you look at here, and you look at people who are waiting, and you look at border security. Those are things before you start expanding, and a system which is already not working. I mean, you look at it's not hard to figure out. It doesn't work whether you're talking about the border security. It doesn't work whether you're talking about the actual immigration system. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Diane in Indiana on line one. Diane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. Thanks for calling.
Good. I think it got kind of lost with all of the other horrible things that were happening. But last Wednesday, the day of the shootings in Paris, it was announced on Fox News that we are closing 16 of our military bases in Europe. I'm not sure how soon that's happening, but it's in Germany, in England, I don't remember where else. But that's pretty terrifying to me with this Muslims takeover, you know, potentially that they're trying. What do you
think? Well, sure, you know, I think that as well. I saw those news stories, and they didn't get as much attention. You're right. There are sometimes, listen, I mean, and we have to, you know, analyze this. Sometimes these are basically updates, and they're moving resources to different places. We still have a pretty a big presence there. This is something that's going to have to be, you know, discussed thoroughly over the next couple of years, which is how we fund our military. Remember, things are starting to change there. I think that when you look at the Department of Defense and Hagel on the way out and things like that, you know, you see it. But currently, you've got an administration where a lot of people are on the way out, but they're not out yet. And there's acting, and there's Holder still at DOJ, but they've had the strategy of downsizing, not really wanting to deal with threats. You could go through this whole debate over, is it Islamic extremism? They don't even want to recognize what the problem is. And I think that's my biggest problem, is that the people who are making these decisions are people who don't want to recognize the ideology that the threat is, that's driving this threat.
There's no question they've been moving towards downsizing, and I think that's a mistake. But I would actually say to Diane, I think the biggest mistake is downsizing the effort to fight back against Islamic terrorism. And I look at Guantanamo Bay. Jordan, there is no doubt that this kind of terrorist is still out there. There is no doubt that we are going to still have a need to detain those type of terrorists. And yet we are closing Guantanamo Bay. We are transferring people who clearly still pose a threat to the United States of America.
Folks, we're going to grab a couple more phone calls. These have got to be quick. So we'll go to Gus in Maryland, line 6. Gus, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. Eisenhower coined the phrase "do nothing Congress" because his Congress only passed 900 pieces of legislation. Well, President Obama's super do nothing Congress has only passed over 200 pieces of legislation. So my question to you is, what do you expect the president to do? Sit and look like a do nothing president, or pick up a pen and go to work?
Compromise. That's what I expect the president to do. He hasn't compromised on anything. Since the Affordable Care Act, which he barely got through with one, you know, one vote, he's not willing to compromise. So there's no real discussions being had, Gus, and the people keep electing this Congress. How do you respond to that? We got 50 seconds left, but everybody, you can have that argument all day, and yet everybody voted to make sure the president didn't get a Congress that wanted to do what he did.
Unfortunately, the black community and the Latino community don't look at Congress, the voting for Congress, as enough of...
Oh, but the president did. Don't act like they had millions, hundreds of millions. I think it was a $1 billion election. They knew the importance of it. He put it all in Affordable Care Act, and this is the consequences of it. 6 years later, this is the consequences because he is unwilling to compromise. And folks, this is not one you need to compromise on. This is one we have to fight on. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Now Now it is time for our lawmakers to refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's plan. Stand with us in defense of the Constitution. Stop this imperial presidency. Urge Congress to stop funding his illegal actions. Sign on to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, aclj.org.